Stay tuned for a very special episode of The Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's The Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Bam!
I just made a sound that made it sound like I was in the bathroom. I didn't mean that, but I can't sing.
You know, I actually like this song, and we sing over it all the time, but I like the song.
Yeah, I like the song, too, but I'm not going to do the show today.
I bet you're not.
No, I don't feel like it. I've never said that before. I'm going home.
You've said it before, and then you always rise to the occasion.
Well,
Why do you not feel like it today?
I'm just not in the mood.
Well,
I'm not gonna.
You better get in the mood. Actually, the show started about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And then we decided, you know, I said to Rob, just play the music and we'll just keep going.
You know what? You're on your own.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another edition of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. I'm Tony Perkins.
I used to be Gary Stein.
And we are with our youthful ward and our companion, Rob Ford.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I tell you, Gary came in today because you guys arrived separately.
Yes.
And we're recording during the week. We normally record on a weekend. He came in,
mm-hmm.
and we're in an office suite, and he came in, and he was flailing his arms around, shaking his fist. He started swearing up a storm left and right.
No.
And I had to walk over to him and nudge over there, close the door, and say, Gary, there's an office going on here running daily business.
We're sharing space with people.
Do you have fantasies on a regular basis? None of this happened.
Agitated the whole morning so far.
Shut up! You know, wait a minute. I came in doing what I always do, humming my mantra.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going, om, mm-hmm. om.
It was in the key of F.
You know, the key of FU,
yeah,
actually.
That's right.
Yeah. No, listen, I was a little keyed up when I walked in.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because you are keyed up. Now, we're recording the show during the week, as Rob said, which we don't normally do. Normally, it's a weekend.
Right.
So there's a lot more activity here. We share an office space with others. So there's work going on. Also, I could not pick Gary up today. You had to take a cab. Did the cab ride go okay?
Yeah, I got the cab driver's number, and You know what?
No agitations or anything?
No, wait, this will be my story.
Okay.
So I got the cab because you didn't pick me up this morning, which was a great way to start. And, I didn't really understand why.
Well,
but
there were reasons for that. Yes.
Yeah, right, I know, yes. You're probably watching a rerun of I Love Lucy at home with Rhonda.
Now, I can explain the reason and make you feel very bad.
No, then don't.
Okay, all right. Don't.
I felt bad once, and I didn't like it. No, you know what? I hope I find something. I lost something that meant something to me today.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that.
Yeah, so I lost something, and I was very angry at myself because I've been a little ADD lately.
Yeah.
I've had a very busy life, and I'm forgetting stuff, like, you know, my name. And one day I forgot to get dressed, which was probably upsetting for everybody outside. So so I get in the cab and I'm a little keyed up.
Yeah.
I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And I got one of those cab drivers that's like everything rolls off his shoulder kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I hated him because I said, it's really been a rough day so far. He said, oh, man, you just have to sort of take it as it comes and just enjoy. Look at the beautiful day. And I thought, I hope it rains on you later.
What I wanted.
Yeah. I want some sympathy. I want you to ask for the details. He didn't. He was just telling me that I should be in a great mood.
Sometimes you don't want that.
No, you
Sometimes
don't.
Sometimes you don't want that.
No.
I remember years ago saying to a friend of mine, I think it was a text that I texted. Someone texted me, said, how are you doing? I texted back and said, really rough day today, not in a great mood. And she texted back something like, well, it'll get better or something like that. It was just kind of dismissive.
It wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't enough.
But on the other hand, you don't want them to say, tell me all about it, because then you would say, it's way too much to tell in a text. I can't. So it's another sort of no-win situation. You know, you can't win. I want people to be appropriately sorry for me if something's bad or empathetic.
And the tough thing with a cab driver is you know, you don't know them when you get in. They don't know you. They don't know what you want. I would prefer a cab driver, say, you know, pretty much the minimal amount.
Oh, I would think friendly. I would think you wouldn't want a cab driver to even talk to you.
I don't want a whole lot of talking. I really don't.
You don't want to get to know them.
No.
No.
I'm just, you know, I'm going from here down to Georgetown.
Exactly. And he doesn't know that you're easily aggravated.
Oh, I'm easily aggravated.
What? I'm happy about everything.
You're upset because you lost something that's dear to you.
Yes. Well, you would be. You would be upset too. I don't even think if you had lost something like that was dear to you, you wouldn't be able to do the show.
Yeah. Right.
Oh. like I'm wrong.
I'm having a rough day. You know, I'm having a rough day. There are things going on personally, and you know, there's some illness in the family and that kind of thing.
Well,
but I'm ready to do the show. Yeah. I'm upbeat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true because
you lost an item.
Yeah. I did, but it's one that I use every day. Yeah, yeah. You're upbeat. You're fine.
I'm fine. Rob, do I seem fine?
You're doing great. Going back to the talking to a driver, have you ever done the move where you roll up a privacy panel in a car while he's trying to talk to you?
No, I can't do that because that's rude, even if you want to do it and it's your right.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
No. Well, I've only done it when I tried to get lucky in the back seat with somebody because then I thought, you have no part in this unless you're going to help me. If you can't help me, roll the thing up.
See, that's a funny
thing.
No,
you can't, really.
You can't.
No.
I mean, then you're an a-hole, really.
You can say a-hole, can't you?
I prefer not to.
Well, but saying a-hole makes it sound like you're about 11.
Nine Finger Stein has no qualms about saying
that. I mean, you sound like Connor. He's that guy's a real a-hole, you know? I almost said the F word.
I try not to, I do curse. I try not to curse, and I certainly try not to curse during our show.
Yeah, I know.
You have no problem with it.
Not really.
A couple of weeks ago, you dropped the F-bomb.
I did.
I hope you remembered to bleep that, Rob.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's bleeped, I think.
Okay. I think
we'll find out.
Wait.
We'll find out shortly.
You know, send the letters to me.
This is a professional show. Every time I say
what
did I do?
What?
I'm explaining
something. You're so agitated.
I'm explaining something every time I say okay. He bleeps it.
Yes, okay.
All
thank
right?
you very much. I envision this show as being a PG-13 show.
Well, then you're on the wrong show. and the funny thing is, it's your show.
That's right. And we've gone past PG-13 a few times.
Oh,
anyway.
We're PG-27. I don't know.
PG-20. That would be great if it just, instead of R,
right,
it
never
just kept going up.
Really?
Right. The best exotic marigold hotel, PG-65.
Yes. Some new version of Deep Throat would be PG-9000.
Well, yeah, right. Or it's, yeah, okay. Or it's tied to age. Yes.
Yes. Okay. As I am.
Speaking of movies, we have a guest today. I am very excited about this.
Uh-huh.
A good friend of mine from Fox 5, Kevin McCarthy.
He's fantastic.
He is.
You know,
he's crazy.
He was so good in Invaders of the Body Snatchers.
No,
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
No. That's another.
Kevin McCarthy.
Was that Kevin McCarthy?
Isn't that who you have?
No. Gary's confused. I told him from the movies, Kevin McCarthy. Oh,
Invasion of the Body Snatchers is one of my favorite sci-fi movies of the 50s.
So all the questions you prepared are not appropriate.
What was it like to work with Dana Winter? And what was it like to be on a set of like what people thought was going to be a cheesy sci-fi film, which became a cult movie?
Yeah, no, it's a different Kevin McCarthy.
So I shouldn't ask him that?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Why is he on?
Ask him. He's a movie reviewer that you've met. He's at Channel 5,
yeah.
Fox 5 here in Washington. You also see him, those of you who are listening from out of town. He's on Fox News Channel every Friday and every Sunday. Great movie reviewer, very quirky. He's got his own website, nerdtears.com. We'll ask him what that's all about, and he'll be on the show.
I didn't realize that the Republican Whip was also that much into movies.
That's another Kevin McCarthy. Yeah, he's a congressman on Capitol Hill.
Why did the movie reviewer take his name from others?
Should ask him that. Do you know he's Kevin McCarthy? The majority whip is Kevin McCarthy. They sometimes people tweet them and get them confused. And finally, they met one morning on Fox News Channel, which we can ask about.
Okay.
They were both booked on the same show.
The actor Kevin McCarthy from Invasion of the Body Snatchers was an Equus. And And I saw him, and luckily he didn't play the character that takes his clothes off. Because at that point, Kevin McCarthy was about 70.
See, I've never heard of Kevin. Well, you know, I do know the name. I can't picture the guy. Did he do anything else notable? He's not well known.
Oh, yes, he is.
No, he's not well known. Kevin McCarthy, the actor?
You're going to argue with me about films. You know, like Rob Spiewak couldn't hold a candle to me, you know, and you're going to argue, you know, he made a lot of movies, but he didn't have any huge breakout films. His best friend was Montgomery Clift, and he hung with him, but he didn't really become as famous.
Okay.
They probably spent some quality time together. I'm not sure.
Well, that may be. That may be.
Where are we going?
All right. Anyway, Kevin's here. We'll talk to Kevin in just a few minutes, as a matter of fact. Listen, Gary, I don't know if you've been listening to the news lately. There's something I want to bring to
your
attention.
No, I never listened to the news.
This was actually in the news a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
There was a survey done. This originates from England. And I know we reported it on Fox 5. Many of you probably heard this. The name Gary, your name, has dropped in popularity by historic numbers. It is amazing. It used to be a pretty common name. I thought it was still pretty common, but fewer and fewer people, boys, are being named Gary.
What, girls are being named Gary?
Well, girls as well. get this. In 2013... fewer than 450 boys in the U.S. were named Gary when they were born.
Fewer than 400 and something?
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
450. In 2013, there were only 450 new Garys. Gary, the name, used to be among the most popular. It's fallen out of the top 1,000 names for boys.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
I can, because I actually think this trend started when we started our show. I think that's when the name became less popular.
Oh, I hope that's not it. But you're out of date.
Well, we know that. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that because my name is Gary, I live in the past?
I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
You know, I basically don't live in this century at all.
You don't, really? You don't?
No. Nope. I know a lot of stuff that happened. You know what? In the 50s, when I was born, I think that Gary was a very popular name.
Oh, it was. Let me see. It said something here about Gary, which is believed to be a name of Germanic origin. You must love that.
Uh-huh.
It means spear. I love that. Was the 10th most chosen name in the U.S. for three consecutive years, starting in 1951.
Well, I don't like spear because it's associated with some bad things in terms of race.
Yes, that's right.
Don't like spear because Albert Speer is certainly connected to Nazis.
Yes.
Which I bring up a lot on the show. I realize I talk about Nazis and all Jews do.
it's a running theme. And who can blame them?
Well, we can't. What are we going to say about slavery?
I know. We talk about slavery all the time.
We do.
Gary fever had even spread to parents of American-born baby girls. At its peak for females, 90 of them were given it as a first name in 1947.
Wow.
47,
You know, if we got my mother on the phone, she would say that I had Gary fever a lot, because I was sick as a kid quite a bit, and I think that I had a temperature. You know, they would say that you had a temperature.
Yes.
If you don't have one, you're dead.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You
got to go beyond. Oh, he's got a temperature.
He can't go to school today. He's got a temperature.
That was because
60.
Back then, the thermometers didn't have numbers on them.
You
it
jerk.
There was a line right in the middle. If you were below the line, you were okay. Above, you had a temperature.
They just kind of eyeballed it. It wasn't official.
Yeah. When they first started taking my temperature, there was no such thing as mercury.
Fewer than 450 boys in the U.S. were named Gary in 2013, compared to around 38,000 being named Gary every year in the early 50s.
Wow.
I really am shocked. I brought this up to, you know, kind of needle you a little bit, but I'm shocked. Why would that name of all names fall down in popularity by such big numbers?
I really don't know, unless some Gary did something really awful, and then I don't know why. Although I have to say, I never really liked my name very much.
No?
Do you like your name?
I do. Of course, my actual first name is Anthony. I like it, but I do prefer Tony.
I thought Anthony was actually your real middle name and your first name was Daryl.
No. No.
That's a very, very obscure joke.
No, my name is Anthony. I like it, but I do prefer Tony. When I was in, I think, 11th or 12th grade, I decided I'm going to be Tony from now on. And
right.
I just, you know, my mom was like, really? And
well, your
fine.
Mother still calls you Anthony.
My family, yeah, and my brother calls me Anthony or Aunt, short for Anthony.
He calls you Aunt, and you like that?
I don't know that
did,
I like it.
Did you ever tell him that you don't?
I don't think so. It doesn't bother me.
Do you
me.
Want to call him and tell him that no, he shouldn't do that anymore?
No, it doesn't bother
I'd
me.
I'd be glad to call him later. It bothers me. I wouldn't want to be called Aunt.
Let me tell you what you've been replaced by. Some of the more popular boys' names now, Oliver, Jack, Noah, Jacob, and Mohammed. Are well, all very popular names now in the top 10.
I don't really want to be called any of those.
No?
No.
And
Mohammed Stein.
Mohammed Stein.
A walking contradiction.
You know, can you be a Muslim Jew?
I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Mohammed Stein. That's a great name for a script. For a character in a
I think there was something like that in the film where, like, things were crossed.
I like that. Yeah. I like yeah. that. What's the last thing I want to tell you here? Oh, in England, which is where this whole study came from, in 2013, okay, I told you 450 boys in the U.S. named Gary
yeah.
in 2013. In England, 28 boys were named Gary in 2013. That's it.
28?
28. Now, in Britain, they think part of the decline in the name is because of Gary Glitter. Do you remember him? He was a rock star, and he was arrested for pedophilia.
I have not been arrested yet.
No.
For pedophilia.
It sounds like a movie, like Farm Animals Gone Wild, or something like that, starring Gary Glitter.
So yeah, no, Gary Glitter, he was like a one-hit wonder, and so that's the decline.
That reminds me that if you want to come up to Jersey in the next couple of weeks, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap are playing at SOPAC.
Are they really?
Yeah, you should come up and hear them and relive your past. So does he have to change his name?
No, because he's old time. He's from the 60s. So,
okay,
you know,
so, all right. Not? But I mean, my middle name, is that dead too?
What's your middle name? Steven?
Muhammad.
No.
my middle name is Steven, yeah.
No, I have nothing about Steven. No, I'm sure Steven's fine. With a V or a PH?
Yes. Why did it? So you just asked a question that you can't do anything with. Because if I say it's a V, what do you know? And if I say it's a PH, what do you know?
I'm just wondering. But I can do something with it. On Twitter the other day, yeah. somebody tweeted a picture. There's a Twitter site called You Only Had One Job. And what they do is they retweet. It's mostly pictures that indicate someone who had one job got it wrong. And you know, usually in a bad way. So what they tweeted was, I drove through McDonald's, the drive-thru. The person asked me for my name. I said it's Steven with a PH. And when the guy, maybe it wasn't a McDonald's, maybe it was a Starbucks or something. When the guy got his food on the receipt, it had his name spelled PHTEVEN. Yeah.
Fativen.
Because he said Steven with a PH.
That's great. Right. Now, you know, I told you that I don't like any of the names, including Muhammad, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe now's the time. If Gary is out of date, it's outmoded. I don't really want to be. I want to be in the moment.
Okay.
I want to be very hip.
Okay.
I might change my name, and here's what I think I'd like.
Okay.
Cassius Marcellus Stein.
Still not hip.
I can't go with Muhammad.
No, you can't, but you can do that.
Yeah, because he's my idol,
yes,
you know?
Yes,
so,
Cassius Marcellus.
Marcellus Stein.
Stein. It has a ring to it.
Will I get beaten up?
No.
No, nobody will touch me.
People will be like, hey, listen, if he's calling himself that, there's got to be a reason
that's
for
right,
it.
You would be
right.
fantastic at making dinner reservations. You say, hey, this is Cassius Marcellus Stein calling. Oh, we better get this guy a table stat or else, you know, he's going to have something coming
to
us.
You have not seen my left jab.
So there you go. Just wanted to let you know about your name.
All right, good. Thank you. Can I let you know about something now?
Yeah, sure.
We've talked about this before. Just about everything that happens on a given day is material for our show.
Oh, yes.
So last night, I went and met you at Fox 5. Mm-hmm. You know, you were really caught up in doing what you were doing, so you barely noticed me. And then so at one point, I left to go back to the hotel. And as I walked back, I wanted to say something about street etiquette and about there's so something wrong with all of us. You know, there really is, you know, what people do. We talked about road rage before, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. you know, you feel like you're in a safe environment, so you mm-hmm. can go absolutely nuts on someone.
Right.
So this guy got something sort of messed up. He's riding his bike across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So picture this. He's starting to ride across, and a woman in a car makes a turn and she cuts him off, but apparently she didn't mean to, but the timing is off here, because as she's cutting him off, he's giving her the finger, and, you know, he's flipping her the bird and giving her the finger, but what he's not noticing is that she's waving out the window, giving an apology. Now he notices that she's apologizing, and he obviously doesn't know what to do, because he just told her to go screw herself. And then he goes, "Oh, wait a minute! You're apologizing." So I'm completely off in my reaction. But we have a snap judgment reaction immediately. Like, "Hey, what the hell are you?" And if somebody shows that they're immediately sorry, our anger is gone.
Yes, it is.
It's gone.
Yes, it is. It is a great way. And when we talked about road rage, the shift in emotions is instantaneous.
Yes.
When it first, like, he's riding along. This woman, he perceives that she's cutting him off because she feels like she's got to get someplace.
And he, like, wants to kill her, right?
Instantly, yeah. And then sees that. And when I've been in that situation where I see that the person really is friendly, they made a mistake. So if I'm gesturing to them, I kind of turn it into a wave, and then I'm like, apologizing, like, "Oh, I take it back. I'm sorry.
I've done that too, where I've gone like, "All right, you know," waved back
after you've given them the finger. The worst thing. It's the worst, because that enrages the other person.
Yes,
that's why people fight.
But she didn't notice that he gave her the finger, and she waved like, "I'm really sorry."
Oh, okay.
"I'm really sorry," and then he was like lost.
He didn't know what to do.
No, he didn't know what to do. So he just, like, he rode across the street. He slowed down. He looked back at the car.
Right.
And then he kept going, like, "Oh, the moment's gone." You know? But we will do, "Hey, what do you think you're doing over there?" "Oh, you waved? Okay, good."
Right. Yeah. That's right.
You know?
That's right. The wave makes it okay all of a sudden.
Exactly.
That's very funny.
And if I had seen the wave sooner.
Oh, I wouldn't have been mad.
Not at all.
It is the strangest.
Because
usually you have to build up to either of those emotions. There's no other situation where you go instantly from okay,
I'm fine.
Except in these kinds of scenarios.
That's right. Where it's just not appropriate anyway to get that mad that fast.
Right. If you're and to get that mad that fast, or to come down from it. Even if you're with your wife, your husband, your significant other, and you're having an argument, and the other person says, "Oh, you're right, my bad. I completely blew that. You're right." You still don't come down instantly. There's still a little grumbling, and you're damn sure you're right.
Well, you know, I got my recent car recently, I got it about a year ago, and it was actually a fairly new car, which I know you don't know anything about. But so I was leaving the office that I was working out of, and I totally didn't see a guy coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he maneuvered his car to not hit me. It was totally my fault. I pulled out into a very busy street, and he's driving. I was driving a BMW. He was driving a Lexus, a new Lexus.
So two rich guys. You were in your neighborhood.
Yeah, but I'm not a billionaire. So anyway, he maneuvers, and somehow we avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, thank God we avoided this. I'm driving away, but he's not done. You know, it's like he can't let it go. Mm-hmm. So he chases me down. I'm looking in the window, and I see an older guy, probably with his wife, you know, or a concubine, but an older one. You know, so he's chasing me.
They're cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Or free. So, or grateful.
It's just a meal.
You know, maybe it was simply, I'm good with the ride. Just give me the ride. So, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So he chases me down. Now, I know it's my fault. He rolls his window down, and he says, "What would have happened if I wasn't able to maneuver like that?" And I said, "We would have been in a really horrible accident, and it would have been my fault. Because I didn't see you, and it was my fault." And he said, "Well,
are you driving during this?"
No, we've pulled off to the side of the.
I was gonna say, it was quite a conversation going on.
Yeah, we're drag racing. We're drag racing. Suddenly, there are flames coming out of the back of my car, and it reminds me of a scene from like American Graffiti. You know, or never mind. Yeah. So we'll wait for Kevin.
Or
to come
Fast
in.
And Furious to update it to current times.
Ah,
American Graffiti.
Yeah, it's true. Or Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, okay, that brings it much more
back to the 50s. So what happened was, I'm just apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants
he won't let it go.
Well, no, he wants to say you, but I'm saying it's totally my fault, and right. it would have been my fault, and I'm so grateful that you were able to maneuver the car out of the way. So he's trying to maintain his level of anger. He couldn't.
Wow.
So he's going, well, just be more careful. And that's what he left with. He left with just be more careful, because what's he going to do?
What's he going to do? Yeah, that's
now,
right.
Some
that's
nut
right.
job, you know, might have said, you're damn right, it's your fault, and, you know, I could have gotten shot,
right?
This guy was disarmed.
Yeah.
Because I copped to it.
You copped to it. That's what, you know, when you do, I've always said, you know, if something's your fault, and you just say, hey, I'm really sorry, I that won't happen again, or whatever, it instantly, it changes the dynamic of everything.
Well, that's what's so great about you. You so often can't help your behavior, and you wind up apologizing almost every day.
I believe I probably do apologize at one point every day. I'm sure I do. All right, we do have a guest. We want to bring him in. He's sitting outside waiting. Let's do that, okay?
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
My co-worker from Fox Channel 5, movie reviewer extraordinaire, the guy who is all about nerd tears, Kevin McCarthy is joining us here in studio.
This is a massive honor. I listen to the show all the time on my phone on my flights. I download the episodes and I fly home and I listen to your episode.
Really?
Your show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I love the Annie. Hey, listen, I think you guys have great guests. I think it's fantastic. So thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be here in the studio. I know Mike O'Mara does a show here. It's really fun to be here.
Well, thank you so much for having been on.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you again. Thank you, Kevin. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. You imagine that was actually the segment. They called me all the way down here.
Yeah. We should do that to somebody.
That was long. Listen, you know what's confusing? You don't look anything like you did in Invasion of the Body
Snatchers.
Oh, here we go.
I would be, that year was 1956 that movie came out?
Yeah, 56.
Wasn't he in the remake, too, with the Donald Sutherland version in 78?
In the remake, he's running through the streets going, they're here! Yeah. They're here! Which is the way the last movie ended.
Right.
Tony, we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to go to Starbucks for a few minutes.
You know that we're going to bond.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. You know, you might want to sit there and continue to write your memoirs. he just made a cameo. In that.
That's so funny. The other Kevin McCarthy I always get, as you mentioned, was the congressman, the House Majority Whip.
Yes.
And that, funny enough, CNN, when he was going to be in the running to become the whip,
Majority Leader, yes.
They tweeted out, or the lead,
Speaker
Jake,
of the
Jake
House.
Tapper show. Yeah, something like that. They tweeted out my name versus his Twitter.
That's right.
They said, hey, it would be good to see Kevin McCarthy TV become the next Majority Leader.
That's right.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
you know what?
So Kevin was like,
congratulations.
Didn't you tweet something like, I don't know what that is, but I'll take it.
I'll take this.
He'd be great at it because he'd be the first movie reviewer politician.
Yeah.
And he's got to do a better job than everybody else.
Oh, he sure would. I would like that.
I would love to do it. That'd be awesome.
That was very funny, though, because it was CNN that got it mixed up, and then you responded, several other people responded, and then they corrected it, right?
Yeah,
they
it was hilarious. I think Jake Tapper actually even messaged it back saying, it was just a mistake. But it was still really funny. I was getting all these at replies congratulating me on the possibility of becoming the Majority Leader. It was hilarious.
People must have thought this is a now.
He's
you know,
30 years old.
Yeah, your leap to stardom, as I'll call it, has been pretty extraordinary. But to go from movie reviewing to Speaker of the House or House Majority Whip, that would be pretty amazing.
I always thought it was weird that they call it a whip.
Me too.
Yeah.
Why would you be called that? It's wrong.
Well, that's what Kevin Spacey's character started off as in House of Cards, right?
That's
a Majority Whip.
Yeah.
Which I think him and Kevin McCarthy, the real Kevin McCarthy, actually talked about that element but behind the scenes of how to kind of play the character.
Kramer described it on Seinfeld. Because they were wondering about it. He said it's because in the old days they used to whip them in order to get them into shape and make them see the point of view.
Cleared that up.
Well, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Very happy to have you here.
It's good to be here, guys. Yeah. It's great to be here.
We clapped already.
Okay, we can clap twice.
We already did it.
Gary, it's in my contract with Tony. I'm required to clap every 5 minutes.
We have not clapped twice for any guest.
There's going to be a clap every 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Just randomly, in the middle of a sentence, I'm just going to start clapping for myself. That's why we love to keep it short.
The only clap I'm going to do is like the clapper if you fall down.
Right.
That's about it.
Kevin can be seen every morning, essentially, on Fox News Morning and on Good Day DC on Channel 5 here in Washington. And I got it right on Fridays and Sundays on Fox News Channel.
Correct. Yeah, Fox and Friends with Steve Doocy, who's from DC, Brian Kilmeade, and Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Yeah, that's on Fridays and Sundays, but mainly Fox 5 right here in Washington. Right.
You are a busy man.
Do you know how busy he is?
Yes, I do, because he's constantly flying off to do junkets and
let me say this. We've tried to get a bunch of people on the show, and I think the hardest person to book, and this is not, I'm not criticizing you or anything, has been you, because whenever I text Kevin or see Kevin at work and talk to him, he's like, oh, I'm going to be in L.A., and this is how it goes. I'm going to be in L.A. on Friday. Sunday, I'm going to Rome because they're opening the Transformers movie there. I'll be back here for 2 days, and then I've got to go back to L.A. It's insane.
No, but we're still having, he definitely posed a huge problem in his schedule, but not like Humphrey Bogart.
I heard he was a diva.
We can't get him.
Yeah, I know.
You're in the biz on that side.
He's shooting Casablanca 2 right now. And Maltese Falcon 2. He's doing
Maltese Falcon
the
Return.
Yeah, the Return.
Casablanca 2, Still Friends.
Right. They actually did a rendition of the new on Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I saw
it. The alternate ending.
It was great.
Who was the host? I can't remember. It was somebody funny, but it was really, really funny.
It was Kate McKinnon.
It's J.K. Simmons, who won the Oscar for Whiplash.
Love him.
He played Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, it was great.
Hysterical.
Amazing in Oz. He scared the hell out of
J.K. Simmons is an amazing actor.
Oh, my God.
Did you see Whiplash yet?
Yes.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing if you haven't seen it.
Did you think that was the right choice for Best Supporting Actor?
100%, no question at all. Yeah. I mean, like, it is, in my opinion, one of the scariest performances I've ever seen from a movie.
Let me ask you something, okay? Because I haven't seen it yet, but my wife saw it. And she said to me that she was very disappointed. And let me tell you why. She said, you know what? He was great if you like one-note performances because there was no variation. He was such an incredible villain beyond what anybody would be in that situation that I didn't believe him because it had no variation. Do you think it had variation?
I do. And I think, in my opinion, what happened with that role and why it's so brilliant is that you walk away from the film wondering, is he a bad guy? Because without giving anything away, he's essentially pushing this young drummer past his limits. Did you see the movie, Tony?
I have not seen it yet.
So Miles Teller plays a young drummer in the film at a jazz conservatory, and J.K. Simmons is an overly crazy instructor who's pushing people past their limits, like doing horrible things, physically abusing them, you know, mentally abusing them, verbally abusing them. And the whole point of the film is that if he had not done this to this young boy, this young kid, would he have achieved the greatness that he did?
He's doing it for a reason.
But there are ramifications. I mean, obviously, one of the other students committed suicide because of the character.
Yes.
So it's a very hard movie to judge in the sense of, is he a bad guy? Yes. But would that guy have achieved his greatness if he hadn't met him?
Well, was he a real guy? My wife's contention was that nobody would get away with it and no student would stay there to be abused that
exactly.
badly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You'd have to be in prison for that.
Hi, Rhonda.
Tony's on the phone.
Yeah, I'm going to be home early tonight.
Yeah, yeah. let's get back to Tony.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
What's funny is like we're having these like random geek out movie sessions in the middle of the show. But yes.
That's our show.
Yeah. How old are you, Kevin?
I'm 30. I turn 31 next Sunday.
Okay.
Me too.
Happy birthday.
So do I.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Again.
Another way that you're bonding.
I can't believe we're both 31.
Do you have, now you mentioned Casablanca and Maltese Falcon, do you have an appreciation for the older films as well? Because a lot of young people are like, if it's black and white, I don't want to see it.
Yeah. My favorite, I think the greatest filmmaker of all time is Hitchcock. I mean, there's no question whatsoever.
Okay.
I mean, Vertigo, Rope, The Birds. I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time in my top 10 is a film called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which was like 1940, 31, whatever it was.
Gary was an extra in that.
I know.
I had a speaking role.
You were in the courtroom scene. I remember that. You played the judge.
I'm the one who told Claude Rains at the end, go nuts.
Right.
Just go nuts and run down. Go run. Save James Stewart and go crazy.
And they cut it out because they refer to him as James Stewart.
I think the greatest shot ever invented in the history of cinema is the Vertigo shot. The shot that they use for Jimmy Stewart is looking over the balcony in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
And that shot is used in everything. Probably the most famous rendition of it is probably used in Jaws when Roy Scheider sees the shark for the first time. It's basically a dolly zoom where the camera pulls away as it stays on the face and the background leaves.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic shot. But yeah, that was created by Hitchcock.
Absolutely.
And his cinematography. cinematographer on Vertigo.
You're really into the mechanics of movie
making.
Yeah, when a lot of your interviews, let me say this, if you haven't seen Kevin, and if you haven't, you got to check him out, because all of your interviews are different. And what's great is a lot of the interviews are done on these junkets, you know, when the celebrity is sitting in L.A., you know, with the background of their latest movie, and they bring in reporter after reporter.
Yeah, it's like
after
8 hours. I mean, they sit there all day, and like 50 reporters go in and out of the room. You get 4-minute time slots. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Because you come in with this genuine enthusiasm, you always ask them questions that are different from everybody else. You can always see the subject light up all of a sudden and say, wow, that's a really good question. And they get very animated and they get into it. And one of the things that you do is you have this great love for the mechanics of movie making. And sometimes you talk to them about these great tracking shots and all that kind of stuff. Do you want to make movies one day?
Yeah, I mean, that was ultimately my goal. My goal was to always become a filmmaker. And there's been so many... I look at my job right now as I love being able to go on the air and talk about movies. It's almost like I'm going to film school. I'm sitting across from the legends that I grew up watching, you know, James Cameron's, the Scorsese's, the Spielberg's, the nowadays of the J.J. Abrams. And there's so many great filmmakers. And to meet these legends and talk to them about movies. I mean, I spent an entire interview the other day with the director of this movie Heat from 1995 with De Niro and Pacino, one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a very famous scene in that film where Pacino and De Niro eat at that restaurant. And I always wondered why, if you watch the scene closely, they never show a shot of the two actors in the same shot together. Huh. There's never an establishing shot. So everyone had a conspiracy. Are De Niro and Pacino actually there eating and talking at the same time?
Right.
So I got into this whole discussion with the director about that. It was just like blowing my mind that I've been watching this movie since I was like 15 years old to talk to him about that scene and
why. So were they together? Really?
They were together, but he did it that way because if you show them as equals, it lessened the intensity of the film. So by going out to an establishing shot, you lose a percentage of intensity. By keeping it over their shoulders, it kind of is a war back and forth versus a two shot.
That's one of my favorite scenes in any movie.
One of the greatest scenes ever. Totally.
I loved that.
That and the True Romance, Dennis Hopper, Christopher Walken scene. Those are like my two ultimate scenes. Mm.
You know you're talking to somebody who knows films when he breaks things down to the scenes he loves.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
It's not the movies he likes.
In that,
I'm getting too nerdy, let me know.
No.
Yeah.
What's your favorite shot?
Of all time, the Vertigo shot.
The Vertigo shot.
No problem. Yeah, no question. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's tequila.
Tequila.
Rob Ford. He peppers it in, but he always wins.
He makes it count.
I interrupted you for the first time.
It's been 5 minutes.
What's up?
Applause.
He needs applause.
I'm here.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Oh, look at Gary.
Gary's really upset about this.
Gary's the one who's geeking out the most.
Gary, come on, man.
And you're not going to give it up?
Yeah.
Give it up, man.
Come on, Gary.
I gave it up when I was 19. I'm not kidding.
I want to hear that story. Please tell that story.
No, please don't.
I probably have.
There was tequila.
There was
a Vertigo shot.
There's very little that we're unwilling to talk about.
There was a Vertigo shot.
Hitchcock was there. He directed it.
That's right.
I know that you've interviewed Steven Spielberg. And tell the story, because I don't exactly remember how it went, but when you met him, it ended up with you making a little movie for him.
Yeah. Long story short, I was been trying forever to get an interview with him. And, you know, when you're first starting off doing this, it's hard to get contacts. It's hard to get on lists. A lot of these big-time celebrities have very limited lists. Their publicists only want them speaking to
certain... They have favorites.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't want some kid come off the street and go in there and ask him personal questions.
Right.
And these big-time celebrities like Angelina Jolie, they know who they're going to talk to.
Right. Right.
Luckily, I've never, ever had to send my questions in prior.
Good.
You get to go in the room with your own questions, thankfully, because if they ever told me what to ask, I wouldn't do it.
Good for you.
That's ridiculous.
Good for you.
It's not journalism.
I agree.
So I prepare all week. I got 17 questions. You get 4 minutes with these actors. So people who don't know, you sit in this room, you get 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 17 questions. I walk in the room. We do the interview. And I shake his hand at the end, and I just bought a Super 8mm camera 5 or 6 weeks prior to that, because I wanted to start shooting on 8mm just to kind of like put, you know, edit some film together.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, why are you making interviews? You should be making movies. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I just bought an 8mm camera. Are you kidding me? You're actually saying this right now? And we start talking about stuff off camera. I said, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, of course. We stood up, took the picture. He looks at it, and he goes, nah, I don't like this. He starts directing the guy in the room. He's like, I want you to put the flash on, move that light over here, and like 4 pictures later, it was officially directed by Steven Spielberg, our photo. And I'm like freaking out. So then I book him again a week later. for a movie called Tintin, and I walk in the room, and it's only been 7 days, but he's still like, Kevin, how you doing? And I'm like, now, granted, the lady probably said my name before I walked in the room, but in my mind, I'm like, hey, I'm here. You know, he's saying my name. Right. So I walk in the room, I sit down, we do the interview, and then I leave, and this guy walks in after me, this guy named Jim Dever from Seattle, and sits down, and the camera starts rolling right when he sits, and he goes, that kid out there is freaking out right now. He's excited about it. And Spielberg goes, oh, I love that guy. We met on War Horse. He's going to be a filmmaker one day. He's got the stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I'm out of the room because I don't hear this. The timer walks out, tells me this. I go to Jim. I say, Jim, let me see your tape. Put his tape in, and it actually is right at the beginning, right when the tape started. It was that comment he said about me when I left the room, basically. So then I put that whole thing together, put a package together about it for Fox 5. Then a month later, I run into him at the Critics' Choice Awards, and I say, thank you, Mr. Spielberg, for the interviews. He goes, I want you to make a short film and send it to me. And
I was Spielberg said that to you.
Spielberg said this to me, exact wording. And he goes, I said, I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I want you to make a movie and send it to me. I'm like, well, how do I get it to you? And he goes, have your people send it to my people. I'm like, Mr. Spielberg, I'm sorry. I don't have people. I don't know what that means. I don't have anybody who works. I don't have anybody. So I call my two best friends, Josh and Sean from college. We made movies together in college, and we got together and made a short movie called Bump. It's about a character with obsessive compulsive disorder. And it was shot over 2 days, $340 budget, and we set it off. I made a mistake of sending it to him the day Lincoln opened, which is probably the wrong day to send it.
A little busy.
Yeah, because then the Oscars happened, and you know, he forgot about it. But thankfully, I kept in touch with this producer once a month for an entire year.
Wow.
Every month, I would email her. Uh-huh. And then eventually, she said, he's finally back. He was, like, scouting locations or whatever. He's watched it, and she gave me his, like, points. And what's funny is, you know, I always thought to myself, how do you know he actually really watched it, you know?
Right.
And I remember asking her prior in an email, I said, ask him if he notices the homage we gave him to a movie called Duel, which was his first movie he ever made in the beginning.
So Dennis Weaver.
Yeah, exactly. She emails me back and she said, sorry, he didn't mention the Duel homage, but here's what he said about the movie. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, if he didn't watch it, she would have just lied and said, he loved the Duel montage. That to me was like the validation, and it came from him. It was like an official email, basically.
Yeah.
So it was just a really cool thing. I haven't spoken to him about it since.
But that's so cool.
Yeah, so that was a couple years ago. Crazy story.
Here's the thing that I find with the big stars like that, and I always tell people who are like interns and they're wanting to get ahead in the business and all that kind of stuff, and you did the exact right thing. I always say, stay in touch with the person, but you don't want to be a pest. Give them some time. Right. Give them some space.
It's the balance of being relentless but not annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
And most people who are in that kind of position, if they offer something, they mean it. Now, it might take them forever to get back to you, but eventually they'll do what they said they were going to do.
You do what I do. Both of us do a lot of booking for this show. We do it ourselves. And what I do is I take the onus off of the fact that I am constantly in touch by in my email saying, I know I'm relentless. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry for being so relentless.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be, but I just want you to do the thing so badly. And if you take it away a little bit and you have a little bit of a sense of humor about how you keep stalking them professionally, it really works.
Mm-hmm.
It,
yeah. You know? And that's the way when I started off in radio. So I had a radio show on 106.7 WJFK, which is where I met Tony, and we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I had a radio show from 7 to 10 on Friday nights. It was just specifically a movie show. And I would email... I'd get on my computer on Monday morning and I would email. I'd go on IMDb Pro, which is where you get all the publicist information. And I would email every single actor's publicist who had a movie coming out that week.
Wow.
And I would just ram their inboxes with emails all over and over and over and over until I heard back from somebody. I would usually end up with the cinematographer or the film score composer because, you know, radio back, you know, especially on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, no one's really available.
Right.
So I had to tape stuff. But yeah, it's all about that relentless nature of it.
I had a similar experience. Just in trying to get in touch with Tony, I wrote to him for 3 years, three straight years.
Yeah.
Every Thursday, I mailed it, and all I wanted was an autographed photo. And I finally got the photo.
I know.
And he wrote, you know, dear Gary, your name will go out of style soon, Tony.
Yeah, I'm actually paying Tony to be here right now. Just to be in his presence.
You're paying Tony for Tony to be here?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm paying to be in his presence. Like, I can't be within a certain...
Don't tell Gary that. He's not supposed to know that.
How much?
I have no idea.
I told Kevin the guests pay to come on the show.
Yeah, the guests pay, yeah. I'm paying for the exposure.
Yeah.
We met, you and I met at JFK.
Yeah. Remember how we met?
Well, I was doing a live shot from there for Channel 5. How many years ago was this? Because it was when I was doing the morning
2007,
show.
2007. It was August.
It was August. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I was wearing white. You were wearing green.
I remember exactly what I was wearing, to be honest.
Do you really? I know what you were wearing. Yeah. Oh my, weren't you wearing like a t-shirt and shorts? He was an intern.
You should not know what you were both wearing.
No, well, because
Tony's wearing a suit.
Let me just say this because I was doing a live shot with the Junkies, 106.7 The Fan. Great guys.
Yeah.
Love those guys.
They gave me my start. I got to give them a shout out, by the way. EB Cakes, Lurks, and JP. Yeah. They are literally the entire reason why. Them and Tony are my entire reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today.
All right, then go ahead. Give them a shout out.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. That's all.
Well, but weren't they? Didn't they? You were an intern.
Yeah.
And didn't they kind of abuse you a little bit?
Right. So basically.
I can't imagine that.
Oh, no. I started there in 2005. I started there, and I was basically their sidekick. I did literally everything they asked me to do. Right. I was the guy they picked on. But
go out in the street. I would do anything.
Those bastards.
But it was great though. It was a good exposure. The show had huge ratings. Everyone listens to it. I was their movie reviewer, so I used that as a way to get contacts and publicity contacts. Now the day you came in, I was 2 years in. I was working as a sales assistant at the radio station, and they had me dress up as a Wizards cheerleader, and the Wizards cheerleaders were in studio to promote the Wizards season.
Yes.
And they taught me a dance. So as Tony and the cameraman are pulling up to JFK, I'm outside training with pom-poms and short shorts, and they're like, you know what, we should get this on camera. So they film it, and they feed it back, and then I go in studio, and I'm literally wearing the shortest shorts ever, like pale, skinny white legs.
Yes.
Yeah, and we do the segment. I've never met Tony before. I'd watched him on television, Good Morning America and everything. I'm like, this is incredible, but why am I wearing this in front of Tony? So then after the show is over, I walk up to Tony. We're outside in the park. I can see it like it was yesterday. And I said, hey, I do movie reviews for the Sports Junkies. Any chance you would be ever interested in having somebody on Fox 5? He goes, you know what? Actually, we have an opening. Why don't you come by for an audition? So that was the moment my entire life changed, because like the Junkies gave me that start on radio. Then I met Tony, and then Tony got me the door at Fox 5. And then I was on ever since.
That's a fantastic story, because I have an opposite thing. He has always held me down.
Right. I know. He felt bad about you, so he helped me out.
He's been in my way for 15 years.
right.
I was riding a comet.
Right.
And he just put that thing right out.
I lassoed that comet.
Right. But yeah, that was it.
But you know what? He has talked about you a lot before. I've met you a couple of times. He always described you as somebody who understood. A lot of people don't listen. There are a lot of talented people out there, but a lot of people don't know how to get from point A to point B.
Right.
He said you're great at what you do. Mm-hmm. Your energy is amazing, but that you understand that there's a way to get to advance in this business.
Took me 8.5 years to get a job at Fox 5 officially, a full-time job.
Wow. Yep.
Eight and a half years, like starting in 2007, I got hired in 2013 as like a full-time employee.
But so you saw the carrot and you knew what to do to get there.
Yeah.
You really did.
And I never gave up, because I love
movies.
That was the thing that I had a hard time explaining to my parents and my friends who I had to borrow money from constantly, because I didn't have any money, because I was making nothing basically at the time.
Well, Tony's a billionaire.
I know.
Not true.
Yeah.
Not true.
He probably is.
You can borrow any time. I do.
He has Good Morning America money.
No. I always say that money's long been gone.
That was the thing I had to explain to my parents. And I got a great quote from a radio professor of mine when I was in college at George Mason University, was, do what you love and the money will follow. It's a very cliche comment.
That's absolutely right.
But I never thought to take it seriously. And then 8.5 years into doing this, I was like, oh, he's really right. Because it was never about the money for me. It was always about just, if I could meet my heroes, I would say to myself, I'll do it for free at that
point.
But
those are the best choices, because it's a passionate choice.
Right.
And if you're passionate enough, hopefully it leads to money.
And I think
almost every time it does. And you have to put the work in, and it can be, I think so many times some younger people, they get discouraged or like, oh man, I've heard people say, I've been doing this for 6 months and nothing's happened. I'm like, 6 months? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah, Tony and I had so many lunches at Coastal Flats together. Yeah. I was meeting with him like once a month or something like that, just to try and get some advice. When is the time? It's a really hard thing, because I go back to school and I speak sometimes, and it's hard to tell people, you might have to wait 8 years to get a full-time job
to them. That
like
sounds like, oh, I'm not
it
waiting.
It sounds
years.
Like crazy, but if you love movies enough.
And the other thing, and whatever it is you love, you're doing the work and you're getting better and better and you're showing yourself.
I mean,
and
look
you're
at
you.
You've loved radio for so long. You started off in radio with Donnie Simpson.
Started off in radio. Yeah. I worked hard. I went to Good Morning America, made lots of money, came back to TV, and now I'm back in a little radio studio.
No, but radio
making nothing.
Was always your passion.
It was.
And
no matter what, you've always tried to stay somehow in radio.
Oh, I've always followed. I've always followed my passions.
Which
absolutely.
I love. Yeah.
Well, because with him there were always payoffs.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He's told me.
That's how he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand that.
Listen, I have a guy. I'm going to ask you a question because we're talking
nice
about
shoes, by the way.
You like my shoes?
Yeah, I like your shoes. Sorry.
Thank you very
no
much.
One, no one can see that, but he's wearing these incredible cowboy boots.
Well, you're wearing Converse All Stars, and I've got three pairs of those.
Nice.
Yeah, in different colors.
He's actually wearing nothing else, though. Just the Converse.
Just the Converse.
We're all really naked awkward. Right now. Yeah. Every one of us
from the waist
naked.
Down.
Tony has socks on. Yes. That's about it.
I have three socks on.
Yeah.
We're all naked. I'm looking Tony's way, and not all cliches are true. Now I want to get back to something less important.
Something that he knows about.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, I love you. Have you ever talked to... I was an actor for a long time in L.A. I had a failed acting career, as Tony likes to say. Mm-hmm. But did you ever talk to actors who say this, and you definitely want to say something back to them? They will say, I just got out here to Hollywood, and I'm giving myself a year. Mm. I'm going to give myself a real concentrated year, and if I don't make it, and I think you're lacking the passion already.
Yeah, you're already defeating yourself.
Because
at that point.
A year? I mean, look, acting is one of those professions where you could get to Hollywood, and you could get discovered, and something could happen very quickly.
Yeah.
The likelihood of that is really not very good.
Right.
It's about time in, right?
Like, there's some actors who like spend decades in the business before they get their big break.
Yeah.
I mean, there are actors who have steady work, but before they become like really popular, like someone like a J.K. Simmons.
I was going to say
Bryan
J.K.
Cranston
Simmons.
Or Cranston was on Malcolm in the Middle, but he blew up on Breaking Bad. That was 40 years into his career, whatever it was.
J.K. Simmons has been in dozens and dozens of movies, TV shows. He's in the State Farm or Allstate, whatever commercial.
Farmers.
Even as he's in this Oscar-nominated movie,
And then there are people who never become major stars who work all the time. Mm. You know their faces. You don't know their names. Some of them prefer it. One of them died recently. One of my favorite character actors who's in movies all the time. No one knows him. James Rebhorn.
He lived
in my town.
Oh, he was great. And wasn't he in Homeland?
Guys. Yeah.
He was in Homeland. Yeah. He was in Scent of a Woman.
Yeah.
He was the headmaster of the school.
Yeah.
You know, he's always, he worked.
One of those, I know that face, but not the name
right.
kind of
right.
guys.
Right.
A lot of those types of actors.
Some of those actors like that career because they're not inundated with autographs and all of that.
Right.
But there's a guy who loved acting, worked all the time, mm-hmm. but he never became a star.
Never had a huge break. I'm assuming that steady work was something he just wanted. I mean, he didn't want to break into the celebrity element of it.
I don't know.
Maybe he did. I have no idea.
Maybe he was never offered that kind of role that would take you to a new place.
Rhonda.
Tony has another call again.
You're downstairs?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be right down.
Okay, cool.
I'll be right down. Okay. All right,
Tony,
thanks.
Hi, this is Rhonda. I thought you should have left about an hour ago.
I'm not married to Michael Jackson. Let me, I want to get your thoughts on some of the movies that are coming out.
Mine?
But I want to ask, no, not you.
Oh.
And can I just say, for those of you listening, I wish you could. One day we're going to have the camera set up so we can stream this live, but I just want to explain something. Kevin is sitting across from me.
Right.
Gary has actually physically turned his back to me and is only engaged with Kevin right now.
Well,
his legs are spread
his
as well.
Back.
I'm really
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
He's like doing this.
That's, that's a different show, and the legs are not spread.
He's presenting.
That's all the time we have, and there's no clapping. Wait, now look where I'm sitting. What am I? If I don't
know.
Turn to him, I'm just looking at Rob Ford.
I know.
And I've looked at Rob Ford before.
So. You can't win. You've met everybody.
Yeah.
You've met everybody. I know one of your favorites was Russell Crowe.
Yeah,
tell me about that whole experience, because you all actually turned into a little...
That's an insane story.
Yeah, it's like a little item.
Well, so...
Whoa.
Kind of.
So I just started off doing this in the business, like the interview, like the television interviews, because Fox 5 had just started letting me do TV interviews. And I didn't have any contacts at all with the studios. And I booked an interview with Harrison Ford, and I was geeking out beyond belief. I was like, this is incredible. I'm like freaking out. It's Han Solo. It's Indiana Jones. What the heck am I going to say to this guy? I mean, this is amazing. I get a call from my buddy. He goes, Kevin, just so you know, Russell Crowe's also going to be at that same junket area. By the way, for people who don't know, junket's basically a way a movie studio uses to promote their movies. They put a bunch of actors in a hotel to sell the movie, basically.
Right.
So there were two movies happening at the time. There was a Harrison Ford film and a Russell Crowe film. So I call the Russell Crowe studio, and I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going to be in town for Harrison Ford. Can I pop into your movie, too, and get both movies done? They said, no, sorry. Schedule's booked. Not going to happen. Mm. I'm like, all right. So I'm on a train, 5:00 in the afternoon on a Friday, and Russell Crowe goes on Twitter and he goes, oh my gosh, I just saw Harrison Ford in my hotel. I have to get an autograph for my kids. They love Indiana Jones. I'm like, this is amazing. Watching an A-lister, freak out about another A-lister. So I hit reply. Just, maybe he'll see it, maybe he won't. I said, hey, Mr. Crowe, I'm actually interviewing Harrison Ford tomorrow. Too bad I couldn't get you. They said your schedule was booked. And I put a little sad face. So he responds back immediately. And he says, call the studio and tell them I told you to ask one more time.
Wow.
So I call the studio and I say, hey, guys, Maximus Gladiator told me to text you guys or call you guys. And they said, sorry, Kevin, not going to happen. Don't do that again. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, okay. So next morning I wake up. I'm on deck to interview Harrison Ford. I'm outside his hotel room stalking him because I love Indiana Jones.
Right.
And I get a call from the studio saying, hey, Kevin, just so you know, Russell Crowe called the studio last night and added you to his interview list on his own.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh my gosh. So I immediately run downstairs. I walk by this bathroom and he walks out immediately. And I'm like, oh my God, hey, Mr. Crowe. He goes, hey, are you Kevin? I'm like, yeah. He goes, oh, nice to meet you, mate. I'll see you inside the room or whatever. I don't know how he knew it was me, but I guess he knew I was a young kid or my face
was it the
Twitter.
Sign on your lapel?
Yeah.
And the drooling?
Yeah, I was drooling. I was like, it's Gladiator. I'm like, where's Ridley Scott? Where's Hans Zimmer? So I walk in the room, I interview him, and he tells the whole story on camera. 3 months later, I tweet him again, hey, you have another movie coming out. Can I talk to you for that? He goes, no, this time, you got to get me on your own. You're too humble or whatever not to succeed. You'll get here.
Right.
I'm like, all right. Fast forward 4 years later, it takes me to get him again.
Wow.
Or to have an opportunity to
You're
get
kidding.
Him again.
Right.
And if it's for Noah. It was last year, actually.
Yeah.
And I book him. I walk in the room. I sit down, and I said, I don't know if you remember me. And he goes, oh, I know who you are, Kevin. Congratulations. You finally made it here. And it's all on camera. And then the next day, he tweets me and said, I just want to say congratulations on all your success and everything.
That is so cool.
Like a really great, cool guy who kind of gave me a nice little, cool nudge.
That was really cool. He did that
to push you. I like that a lot. It wasn't dismissive.
And he got you in the first time.
Right.
And Gary and I talk about this all the time, how most of the time when you're someone, if you've got a show or you're doing interviews or you write for a newspaper or something and you're trying to get to somebody, when you get a no, it's usually from the PR people. The person that you're trying to get, they don't even know about it.
And that's the scary part.
Yeah. And so at first they said, nope, not going to happen. And then he calls and they call you back. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen.
Well, that's what it takes, right? It takes muscle. Somebody's got to have some say to be able to make something happen.
I want to say something about you. Kevin is a very, very nice guy, and you're very humble. And
thanks, T-Perk.
Well, you are, and you're always very nice to me. I mean, we like each other, but also because of, the whole how it all started, which is wonderful. But here's what I always say to Kevin, and it's the absolute truth. I got you an audition at Fox 5, and yes, we've talked, and I've given you counsel and all that kind of stuff, but you're the one who does the work. You're the one who has the talent. You're the one who does these quirky interviews and gets this stuff out of people that other people don't get. And it is fantastic. What you do is so different from what every other movie reviewer that I see does. And the reactions you get are so different, and you're doing the hard work. Everything you just said about he tells you you got to do it on your own this time. You did it. It took a long time, but you kept doing it.
Four years.
Sat down and he said, I don't know if you remember me. Yes, I remember you. You persevere and you work hard and you do it. That's what you do. That's why you're successful.
Yeah, it was
cool. No one's handed it to you. You've You've taken the ball and run with it.
But it also is meeting the right people, though. I mean, meeting you obviously was a huge deal, because I mean, I don't know if I would have gotten the television.
Yes,
thing,
but you when know you I mean? When you met the right person, you did the right thing.
Correct.
You know, you it's, before it's, I yeah. left that day, you said you stepped out there, and it takes a leap of faith to say, "Hey, I'd like to. I want to do movie reviews." You know, a lot of people don't take that step. You got to take the step.
No, absolutely. You know, and things can work out very differently because I also met Tony.
I'm waiting for a joke.
And he's saying it didn't go so well for him.
No, I mean, you know.
I knew a joke was coming. No. Like, I'm starting to understand Gary's sense of humor.
Yes, yeah, yeah. As it is.
Yeah, it's coming in. It's very, very funny. Like, but it's all in the delivery.
Yes,
the timing is so great.
Oh, thank you.
I love
thank
it. You. I really do.
You know what? You've always been one of my favorites. Hey, I want to, Tony, can I just ask you a question?
Me?
Yeah.
Sure, turn towards me so
okay.
I can see you.
Okay, here.
So look at his legs.
Let me just turn this way for a second. So do you
mind? Gary, I want you to ask me while looking at Tony, though.
You know, you're not running this.
I'm just kidding.
But you know what? But you know what? Because I won't applaud for you. I'm going to do it.
Now, do it. Now, he's giving you something.
The audience at home can't see that this is happening.
Okay, Gary's facing me. Back towards Kevin.
Kevin, listen, I want to ask you something that I think it's sort of just a fun thing. It's a trivia thing. Mm-hmm. There are certain guilty pleasure movies that it doesn't matter where it is in the film. You're flipping through the channels and you get to something and you just find yourself watching the movie from wherever it is. And it could be the 30th time. I have some of those. I'd like to hear Tony's and Rob's. I'd like to hear yours first. What are your guilty pleasure? I have to stop on those films.
Okay, can I do something really quick?
Yeah.
I just want to do what we used to do on Good Morning America. Kevin, everybody has their guilty pleasure movies that they, when they're going on TV and they see it, they just have to stop and watch it. I have mine. They have theirs. I want to hear from you first.
Wow, what a great question,
it's a great
Tony.
Question, Tony.
You know what?
That's what I used to do.
This is why.
Gary,
this is why.
I think you should have asked that question, Gary.
Kevin, I would love to turn towards you, but I can't. That was such an insightful question.
Thank
I wish
you.
I had thought of asking
great,
that.
Great question, Tony.
All right.
Gary, come up with better questions next time, okay?
Yeah, I'll try.
Tony's
I'll try.
Really, really
it is
good.
A good question. I do want to hear the answer.
I need Tony to give me a playbook.
Yeah. I will say that's one of the things that I try to do as a critic. You know, there's Oscar-type movies that everyone obviously gives good ratings to, but there's also movies that you just go to the theater, turn your brain off, and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Fast and Furious franchise is one of those franchises where it's just dumb and over the top, and that's a movie I'll stop on and watch it as a guilty pleasure, no problem.
Great.
You know, films like Bad Boys, Armageddon, Dumb and Dumber, these are films that aren't like critically in the sense of like Oscar-worthy movies that I find entertaining and fun to watch. Guilty pleasures, I mean, there's so many of them. Like, you know, I can go back to, I'm blanking right now off the top of my head. I mean, Porky's and,
oh my God.
And films like, I mean, Blues Brothers, that's actually a great movie though. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I got to think of some of these.
Well, you know, I have two, and they're both Russell Crowe movies.
Really?
I will watch Gladiator from anywhere.
Great movie.
And I have it. So here's the weird
thing.
That's
not really a guilty pleasure movie, though.
But it's one. But it's
a great movie.
Yeah, it's not a guilty pleasure, but it makes you stop.
He's really the one who brought up the guilty pleasure thing. Right. I think I was really referring to something you have to watch. Maybe I used the expression, but I didn't mean to. I meant a movie you can't help watching because you love it so much.
Okay, that's a different story. Okay,
sorry. Guilty pleasure is like a bad film.
Like
you're
a bad
film
that you can enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, True Romance, no problem. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, I will stop at any
point
in the film and watch it no matter where I am. That's the movie that made me fall in love with filmmaking.
Even with Edward Furlong's performance?
I thought he was great in it.
Did you really?
Have you seen American History X?
Yes.
I think he's a good
actor. I think it was a great movie in spite of him.
I know. I love Terminator 2, Judgment
where
Day.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
well, that, I think that says a lot. The Russell Crowe movies, Gladiator, Anywhere.
Got it.
And Cinderella Man.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
That is a perfect film.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Ron Howard.
And I will also watch Walk the Line anytime it's on. I don't know why.
It's a great film.
Can I tell you one of mine is...
So, Kevin...
See what I put up with?
People
Kevin?
Listening can tweet us theirs. I'd love to hear theirs
as well. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yes, totally. Please do that.
No, don't tweet Gary. He doesn't know
Gary.
How to...
Just tweet Tony and me.
Tweet me. I'm at... tweet us here at T Perk Show.
There you go. Perfect.
At T Perk Show.
At T Perk Show.
Your Twitter, you're at Kevin McCarthy TV.
Right.
Very good.
I'm at... I used to be Gary.
Yeah, right. Now it's
going
to change.
Now I'm Muhammad.
You are... You know what?
I'm at Cassius Marcellus.
You should be at Muhammad Stein. That's what we should change your Twitter handle.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Stein.
There's okay. no yeah. chance that it's taken, so I'm sure.
Let me tell you the
wide open.
If it's taken, then we're going to book that person.
Okay.
You got if it's Liam Neeson, you should book that person for sure.
That's funny.
All right. One of my favorites is that always, and you know, there's no explanation for this other than you love the movie. That Thing You Do.
Oh,
the
Tom Hanks.
Movie.
Oh,
so good. I love that movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that movie. I love the songs, and I love the optimism of that movie. It really captures a certain time. It's not a heavy movie. My favorite scene is when they first hear their song on the radio and they're running down the street screaming. It's great.
That's a great
I really
film.
Like that
Me
one.
Too.
Yeah.
Why do you always stop on five on the black hand side?
Well, Gary, it's in my heritage. that is Gary's go-to blaxploitation movie.
It is.
Now, I did see that movie. I saw that movie in a theater.
My dad. Yeah. So did I. I saw it in college.
My dad used to. Kevin, I've never told you this. For a short time, my dad, who was kind of an entrepreneur here in Washington, he owned movie theaters.
Really?
He owned like three or four theaters. The name of the theater chain, it didn't go well, unfortunately. But the name of the theater chain, terrible name, Aunt Scott Theaters, named after me, Ooh. Anthony, and my brother Scott. Yeah, not a good
Aunt
name.
Aunt Scott Theaters.
It's a terrible name.
Aunt Scott. It's like a sci-fi film.
It does sound like a sci-fi film. My dad, God rest his soul.
I actually like that, to be honest. Where were the theaters located?
Oh, mainly in the hood.
Okay.
In fact, that was their advertising slogan.
And the weird thing was, that the three theaters were side by side, and that was before there were Cineplex.
That was the first Cineplex.
So that was the mistake, you know, because they were all playing the same film.
I have to go in another theater to see this. But I remember playing a five on the black hand side, and he played Let's Do It Again.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, the Bill Cosby Sidney
Poitier. How about Car Wash?
Movies. Car Wash, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Car Wash is another one. If it's on, and I've seen that movie since the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's not a great movie, but I end up watching it.
You know, movie I always stop on? Face Off or Con Air.
Oh,
I don't know
God.
Why.
And Face Off is so improbable.
I love
it's ridiculous.
I will watch that. That's another one.
That's ridiculous.
Rock. The Rock I'll stop too. On. I'll stop on The Rock, Armageddon. Anything Michael Bay, I'll
Armageddon,
stop on.
I'll stop on that.
I cry at the end of Armageddon. I don't care what anybody says.
That's very sad.
When Bruce Willis stays on that asteroid, I cry.
You know what's
sorry.
You know what's
you're
the
easily
worst?
Moved.
Yeah.
You know what's the worst thing? And this is what Gary was alluding to. We've seen these movies, and here's what usually happens to me, because now I work at nights.
Yeah.
I get home. I've got to kind of wind down after doing the 10 o'clock news. So I'll flip around. I'll watch Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show. If I'm still awake, I'll flip around the movie channels. Invariably, I will land on something that I have seen
a million times. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't exaggerate as much as Gary.
No.
But a movie that I've seen.
He does about size.
And I will. And I will sit there, and at the end of it.
And he keeps going.
At the end.
nothing can deter him.
Timing.
It's all timing.
I will sit there at the end of it, and I'll go, why did I do that? Why did I do that? But, you know, I enjoy it.
Because it really put you in the space you needed to be in to be able to go to bed.
You're right.
It's this familiarity of these movies we love.
But I'm getting to that with television shows now, and I think we can all agree that we're in another golden age of TV right now.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the writing that we're seeing on television and production value is better than most movies that are out right now.
Absolutely.
I can watch any Breaking Bad episode multiple times.
So could I.
To me, it's the greatest show ever. I mean,
I agree.
Next to Seinfeld, like my two favorite shows of all time. But Breaking Bad, I can start it anywhere in the season, anywhere in the whole series, and watch it as many times as possible.
It's amazing you're saying that now, because my wife didn't see any episodes. I watched the entire series.
Yeah.
And I just said to her, a friend of ours has the box set, and I said, I'll watch every episode over again with you. She said, are you kidding? I said, listen, you have no idea how good this show is.
There's nothing better than turning someone on to that show.
Yes.
Like, I got my parents hooked, and they watched the whole series in 2 weeks on Netflix.
Wow.
Because it is... Have you seen it yet?
I haven't.
That's how I did it. That's how I did it. Yeah. I watched it in 2 weeks.
I'm going to try to watch it with Gary and Sarah.
Let me tell you right now, it is...
There's room in the bed.
Yeah. I will join all three of you in that bed.
Yeah, this is quite a picture.
I'm all in
Bob
for that.
And Carol. Carol, Ted, and Alice.
Right. As long as you wear those boots, I will be there for Breaking Bad.
If you wear the cons.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Listen, we're actually running short on time. Give me your take on some of the movies that are coming up this spring or summer that you're excited about.
Well, just real quick, I mean, some big blockbusters coming out. I mean, this year alone, Star Wars obviously coming out in December. That's going to be, I mean, who can't be excited about that?
I'm excited
about that. J.J. Abrams. But coming up, in April, we have Furious 7, which I think the Fast and Furious franchise is just unbelievably fun, over the top, ridiculous. That one's coming out. And we all know what happened with Paul Walker. It's a really tragic situation.
Yeah, very.
You know, but do you guys know how they handle that situation?
Well, I know he had not completed his part.
Right.
And I do see him in the preview, so no, what have
they're
they done?
Using a hologram.
No, they're not.
What they did was, this is actually pretty fascinating. So Paul Walker tragically passed away in a car crash in November of 2013. He was partly done with shooting Furious 7. His two brothers, Cody and I can't remember the other guy's name, they actually stepped in and filled in for all the scenes he didn't shoot. And they look just like him.
Wow.
Really?
Exactly like Paul Walker. So
that's amazing.
I don't know if they did any speaking parts, but I know a lot of the shots that he didn't finish, they stood there and actually acted as if they were Paul Walker. So whether it's a side shot, a back shot, a running shot, you know, how they might have used some CGI for some of the scenes, but that's what they did. So then when the movie comes out, if you look closely, you could probably see his brother.
That is fascinating. You know, I don't remember the name of the movie, but the same thing happened once for the Olsen twins.
Oh God.
The Olsen twins,
yeah. Same thing right after Full House.
Right,
I didn't
know that.
Yeah. I remember that movie, yeah.
All right, so Fast and Furious. Let me ask you this. Is this going to be the last one, or do you think it's just going to keep going?
I mean, it depends on
how much it makes, right?
The franchise is going to make over $2 billion.
Oh,
jeez.
So, I mean, I personally think they should just stop. Yeah. You know, after Paul Walker's passing, leave it at this one.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this. There are cars skydiving in
this movie. I have seen it.
And I love that it completely understands. It's winking at the audience. We know this is dumb.
We know it's crazy.
Have fun with it.
What else are you looking forward to?
Obviously, Avengers 2, which I can't wait for.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
it looks phenomenal. They've done those. Now, you're not into these kinds of movies, are you? Superhero movies?
I know I am into superhero movies, but, you know, when I've missed something like, you know, the Fantastic Four, I've missed some of the things, so I need to go back and start.
Well,
I am into superhero. I always was.
You got to see the Avengers if you didn't see that. They have done so well with these movies, as far as, with the exception of Iron Man 2, I think, and the first Hulk. They've been really good movies, and the Avengers was fantastic.
Avengers 2 is going to be amazing.
It looks great.
It's going to be awesome, and Joss Whedon's directing it. I mean, James Spader's playing Ultron.
I didn't know that.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. Is he going to thin out for it, or is it just going to be the James Spader we know now?
He's on a very good show Blacklist.
Yeah,
he's
great.
Seen yet.
Yeah. Oh, he's great on that.
But has anybody morphed more into like a different human being than he was with Sex, Lies, and Videotape?
Oh, boy,
He was sort of like Soderbergh, man. He was a good-looking, you know, guy.
Andy McDowell.
Spader, yeah.
That's one of the best movies ever made. I love Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
You know, but you know what? He turned into Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
No, he's not that big.
I think you're thinking about Kilmer.
He's Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, boy.
Kilmer got really heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. And then Mad Max, I'm really, really looking forward to, which is the George Miller's back to direct this movie with Tom Hardy. No Mel Gibson, unless there's going to be a surprise in there. Charlize Theron's in it. And then finally, the Entourage movie. I heard that
Mel Gibson has got a cameo in it, but all the villains in his part are Jews. What? That's what I heard.
Yeah, they shot it.
You know what's funny? I'm actually Jewish, so I think that's funny.
Are you really?
Well, I'm Cashew. My mom's Jewish, my dad's Catholic. My friends always called me Cashew growing up, like the peanut or nut, whatever it is.
I guess
you're technically Jewish if your mom's Jewish, right?
You're supposed to be, but
you're
really
Jewish,
does.
Right?
I am Jewish. Yeah, it depends on how you're brought up.
I think you're technically Jewish if your agent is Jewish.
Right, that's how it is.
So are you Jewish?
I was, but I'm not now.
Yeah, okay.
When does the Entourage movie
June
come
5th.
Out? And it's all the original cast and everything?
It's going to be gonna awesome. Be good. It looks fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, lots of great movies come out this year, but mainly I cannot wait for Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars and, of course, the new Quentin Tarantino film, The Hateful Eight.
And you
December.
Love him. You love
He's my
Tarantino.
Ultimate filmmaker.
And look at his enthusiasm. It's really amazing.
It's my favorite filmmaker
amazing.
Of all time. Like, if I met him, I'd cry. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I still cry when I meet people. I get teary-eyed.
He gets nerd tears.
But that's something you can work on.
Now I get geeked out, man.
His whole thing is nerd tears, and he talks about how it's okay to cry. Like, he'll see a spectacular scene in a movie.
An action scene.
And cry.
I don't like bawl out. No. I just get tears in my eyes because I get so excited. I don't know how to express myself. So I just start crying a little bit.
Tony cries when they bring the wrong meal to the table.
Correct. I know.
And
I
don't know what that's about.
I'm very sensitive. Yeah. Kevin, it has been great having you on the show.
It's awesome being here. I want to come here every week and just hang out with you guys.
You can do that. You can do that. We'll talk about how much you're paying.
Great. Yeah.
I'm getting none of it.
Yeah. I want to tell everybody how you can follow Kevin. First of all, you can see him on Fox 5, primarily on Fox News Morning, Monday through Friday. Are you on the weekends, too?
On the weekends on Fox and Friends, not Fox and Friends. Yeah.
Okay. So Fox News Morning or the Fox Good Day between 9 and 11.
Right.
Right. And also on Fox and Friends, Fox News Channel every Friday and Sunday. Follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin McCarthy TV. Remember, that's him, not the majority whip. your website is nerdtears.com.
That's correct,
what's
Tony
on,
Perkins.
What's on there?
What people... It's all my interviews, my celebrity interviews. I just interviewed Al Pacino, and we oh, man.
Hoo-ah!
I got to tell you something real quick. So I've always wanted to know this. When an actor in a movie has a cocaine scene and they have to do cocaine in the movie, what are they actually snorting up their nose?
Uh-oh.
And this was during Scarface, because in this movie he's in right now is called Danny Collins.
Yes.
And he plays a musician who gets a letter from John Lennon 40 years later after John Lennon wrote it. So in 1971, Lennon wrote him a letter and said, "I'll help you out with your career." And then he didn't get the letter till 30 or 40 years later.
Cool.
So he goes back and he actually tries to fix things that he messed up in his life. Now, at the beginning of the film, he's doing cocaine and all these drugs. And he thinks to himself, maybe if I gotten that letter from Lennon sooner, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in now. So when I walked in the room, I asked him about how they do the cocaine scenes in the movies.
Uh-huh.
And that's went back to Scarface. And he said it was a bunch of mixture of fake powder, and he said he would snort it and he would get high off of the fake stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so much going up his nose.
Oh.
And to this day he still can't breathe properly.
Whoa.
Through his nose because of the fake cocaine
from Scarface
he had to do in Scarface.
You're kidding.
Yeah. And then at the end of the interview, since he plays a singer in the movie, I asked him to sing.
And he sang
"Say Hello to My Little Friend."
Yes.
Oh. It was amazing.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
But, see, you bring it out in people.
Yeah,
you know?
It was awesome. But I always wanted to know that about the cocaine thing. I thought that was kind of interesting.
So he's obviously very susceptible. You know,
he was awesome.
Does he have any trouble seeing since Sense of a Woman?
No.
No?
No.
He just takes on whatever character he's playing, that he takes on those characteristics. In all sincerity, if you write a script, and you can think of, maybe Gary and I could play radio DJs
or
something.
I'd love that.
Yes.
Yeah, that
would
be great.
I would love that. I mean, honestly, it's been an absolute honor to be part of the show with you guys. The guests you've had on this show have been incredible. So just to be part of that lineup.
We've, don't tell anybody, we faked all this.
No,
guests.
I know. They're all,
they were impersonators.
They weren't really here.
We didn't have anyone.
Right.
No, I know.
We took previous interviews and we edited them in. Rob's a great editor.
What can I say?
The
cat's out of the bag.
They were guests on other shows.
You took one word from every interview they did and made their answers.
That's right.
Could you imagine if you actually did that? That'd be incredible.
We should do that sometime. Take from someone else's show and then edit it and put our questions in it.
If we get good at that, we could do what I said before. Why don't we get an exclusive interview with Bogart?
There you go.
I'm telling you, great idea. One-on-one, the first interview he's had in 40 years or whatever.
Yeah.
The first time he's spoken to any human being.
No one's heard from him. Yeah.
You know what? We got to do that. We're going to do that.
Okay.
We're going to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Kevin really
McCarthy, thank you so much. And folks,
you get applause. Now, Kevin.
Yes.
And there we go.
We are out of time. We are completely out of time.
Wow.
So we
before
want
I go, before
you know,
I go, Tony.
Yes.
Putting you on the spot.
Yes.
Best Beatles song ever.
In
the
my
Beatles.
Oh, thank you. In My Life.
My
from
favorite.
The
my favorite song
album.
Too.
I wasn't finished. Oh, it is your favorite song too.
My favorite Beatles song.
Yes.
Yeah.
In my life.
I'm Blackbird. I don't know why.
That's a good song.
I know it's just Paul.
Do you know In My Life?
Yeah, I do In My Life.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
I think White Album is the best album they ever wrote. Personally.
Do you really?
I really do. I know it's strange. I know.
No, that's okay.
We could have a whole show on this.
I know.
It's their most varied album.
I think that was the album that they always wanted to make. I think that was their sound. I mean, in my personal opinion, I'll tell you something before I go. Did you see Boyhood?
Yes. Yeah. Great movie.
Do you remember that album that he gave his son,
yes,
the Black Album?
Yes.
That really exists.
Yes, it does. I have a copy of the Black Album.
For people who don't know, basically, Ethan Hawke essentially took every solo Beatles track after they broke up and made an album, a 3-disc album that sounded like a full
Beatles album.
What it might have been.
Yeah. I've attempted to
do that many times.
Yeah.
Do you have Ethan's version?
I don't have Ethan's version.
I'll send you the track list. It's available online.
They actually put together the track list?
Oh, yeah. He made that for his son in real life.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then he actually handed the actor in the scene in the movie. So I'll send you a BuzzFeed article.
That
it actually
great.
Has the 3 discs and it goes in a certain order where it actually sounds like a real Beatles album.
See, that's That's
you
one of my
guys
favorites.
Know so much. My favorite Beatles album is Pet Sounds.
Right.
I love that because you know it's unlike the rest of their albums.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This show has ended three times. We're done.
I love
How
you guys.
Do you know?
Love you too, Kevin. See? Thanks for being here. We will see you next week, boys and girls. Bye bye.
Thanks, guys.
Perkins Show, a Moore Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.